Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, 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 oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know this voice, it's Leland. And we're on Leash. We're on your radio. It's 11 a.m. Thank you so much for being with me. I don't know what you people do at 11 o'clock in the day, but whatever you are doing, wherever you are doing what it is that you do, I want to say a special thank you to you for allowing me to be in your company this morning. Let us not pretend. The race to the House of Assembly has begun. It is shaping up. All right? And right early, here is what I want to believe. Here is what I want to assume. Here is what I'm going to offer as my position. I believe that both leaders of both major political parties have began putting in place what I could imagine to be their possible cabinet picks, right? And so we see that the FNM ratifies 17. The PLP comes out and says, we're gonna one-up that. We're going to ratify 18. And easily I begin to form the cabinet of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We typically have cabinets that are somewhere around 15 to about 17. I think Mr. Ingram had an 18 or 19 member cabinet at one point. If I'm not mistaken, was that Christie? I think Christie was the one with the 19 member cabinet. Notwithstanding that, I believe that both Mr. Davis and Mr. Minnis want to ensure that they get those people that they need on the inside that are going to begin to shape cabinet positions. Because, you know, somehow we no longer simply have people that run to be members of parliament. A lot of people come into politics and they need to be assured that should we win, chief, I am going to need a cabinet portfolio. And a lot of times that hinges upon who gets the nomination. A lot of times we, the electorate, like to look at the slate of candidates and people like me anyway, begin to wonder, can I get a cabinet out of this pick? And so we see the Free National Movement has brought back its Minister of Education. I don't know where you would give him a mark on the grading scale. I don't know whether or not we would grade him on an A to F scale or whether we would grade him on an A to G scale. And how we feel about his performance, particularly during this pandemic era. The Minister of National Security is on his way back. So is the Minister of Health, who has also been the Minister of Transport. Who has also been, what else has he been? Was he the Minister of Local Government? I think he was. What was he before? Fisheries, yeah. So he was fisheries and then transport, now health. He's your one-stop stopping shop for all your shopping needs. He has everything you need and more. He is your one-stop stopping store. He has everything you need and some of the things you didn't even know you need until you called him. Renwood Wells is making his way back to the political campaign trail. And this time, I think he would be considered a very senior politician at this time. If you would recall, he ran and won with the Progressive Liberal Party. That would have been in 2012. Or was it 17? Yes, that was 12. And then he became disenchanted with his party, crossed the floor sometime around 2014, while the FNM was in the doldrums and going through quite a conundrum or a quandary, if you will, and miraculously became, again, the Member of Parliament for Bamboo Town, this time in the Free National Movement's T-shirt. Well, he's going to hold the battle armor. He's going to continue to keep the fire burning. He's going to continue to light the torch in Bamboo Town. Will the people of Bamboo Town deliver Renwood Wells for the FNM again? Does he have what it takes to win? We know that he has probably more cabinet portfolio experience than any minister in this city government. Like I said, he's been Minister of Fisheries, Minister of Transport, and now Minister of Health, all in one sitting of an administration. Then I see Dionisio de Aguilar is on his way back. The Minister of Tourism, I don't know if we can aptly gauge his performance. A lot of what is to be his performance is hindered by the world's pandemic. Directly hindered, right? So no matter what policy he was to come up with, and I'm not giving him a free pass, I do believe that by now he and Travis Robinson could have gotten off of their hands and began the greatest domestic tourism product that we had ever seen in the entire region, and that we could have been the envy of the Caribbean or the Caribbean adjacent with a policy that mirrored that. I don't think that they've done all that they could have done. But he's going to be making his way back to the campaign trail. And then there's Elsbeth Johnson, the Minister of Financial Services. Is it Financial Services, Investment, and Immigration? Is that what it is? He's coming back. Now, I have to admit, I have not been exactly blown away by Elsbeth in this last 5 years. I can't think of anything that's been monumental. Of course, we know that there was the Commercial Enterprises Bill that I think he had a heavy hand in. And we saw that he was outmaneuvered in the BP, Bahamas Petroleum Company maneuverings just recently. So I don't know. I don't know where people are with Elsbeth Johnson. I'm giving you all my personal opinions. But then I see people like my beloved Darren Henfield is on his way back. I don't know, Commander. I believe you're going to be in trouble down there in Abaco. But I am happy to see that the commander isn't shirking away from the responsibility that was given to him. He was given North Abaco. Hubert Ingram bragged about him down there in Abaco. He told the people of Abaco, I think it was over there on Green Turtle Key, listen, I never abandoned Abaco. I left Abaco and I went to look for work. And I go on and I get me Abaco gal. And we had us some Abaco children. And Abaco, oh Abaco, I come back. After 30 years of giving national service, I've come back to give service to Abaco. Well, the people of Abaco will have an opportunity to judge that in a short while. But I believe that should he be successful, we may be again looking at a sitting cabinet minister. Then there's Romuald Ferrero, which surprises me because I'm not exactly sure if Romuald is still in the headspace of politics. I don't know if he is a creature of politics. Romualdos, I believe that they are professionals and they ought to simply stay in their professional capacity with regards to their tertiary training. I don't see them as being maneuverable or crafty enough to be stellar politicians. And I don't know if the measure of his time in office will be kind to him as the Minister of the Environment. As a matter of fact, he's been kind of missing. I can't recall anything from Romuald at least for about 8 months. No, 15 months, because the pandemic has been about 12 months now almost. Then there is the young hotshot pocket rocket, right? Travis Robinson, the PALSEC, once fired, twice appointed, right? He is the inimitable. Somehow his resilience seems to be unwavering. He is the inner city boy, yeah? Mr. Bantown himself. The guy that has the claim to fame that he lives among the people he represents. Well, definitely they're not gonna be able to hold him off from a cabinet position. If he was to be reelected and somehow the FNM was to be reelected, I believe that he would be chomping at the bits. I believe that he would have said, listen, I've earned my keep. I did PALSEC, went off to college, came back, got my degree. I am a specialist in the area of tourism. Man, I've got to be the Minister of Tourism because if not me, then who? How many people around me can say that they have specialty training in tourism and tourism services? I am the only one. I am the only person here. Needless to say that my specialty ought to take me in this direction. You got a lawyer for AG? Well, Chris Kringle, you must see can have me for Minister of Tourism. Among them, though, is also Miriam Emanuel. And you know, I was shocked to see Miriam named so early. I'll tell you why. Micah Hall is usually one of those seats that they name late, as far as I can recall. I don't ever remember Micah Hall being one of the seats that come out of the gate early, right? And then maybe because a lot of my memory around Micah Hall is very deeply associated with one Virginius Ignatius Cornelius Alfred Gray. I somehow don't think about my gal and not think about Virginius Ignatius Cornelius Alfred Gray. All right. But I have been reliably advised by people that I believe have the know-it-all and the wherewithal to advise me that Miriam Emanuel looks comfortable, particularly in Auckland, particularly in the Salina Point area. If you follow politics, you will know Virginius Ignatius Cornelius Alfred Gray has held as a stronghold for quite some time. Spring Point, Salina Point. And I'm told that Miriam is going to be able to cross her arms and beat whomever they send down there. This is what I've been told. All right? But I'm going to say maybe it was the singing. Maybe the serenation of the Prime Minister in the House of Assembly the other day was so titillating that the candidates committee said, you know something, we got to send Miriam back. But I don't want you all to forget, Miriam has been a big-time singer for a long time now. See, y'all is trying to pretend like y'all was rich the whole time and had cable the whole time. But no, we used to watch ZNF. And Miriam was a big-time singer a long, long, long time ago. So when she sang in House of Assembly the other day, I wasn't at all shocked. As a matter of fact, I wanted to grab my keyboard because I thought it was right in keeping with the Miriam Emanuel I know. Anyway, the fact that she's out of the gate early, named early, she is in charge of the, what is the name of that thing? The scholarship thing, Ministry of Education, scholarship, whatever it's called, I'll get the name. But she looks to be in the top 18 or in the first 18. She may very well be looking towards a promotion. I mean, what does it mean when you bring people out in the first fold, right? These aren't all cabinet ministers, so we can't say the prime minister has decided that he definitely is going to go with every member of his cabinet. I don't see Michael Pintard here. I don't see who else is missing from here that's in the cabinet. I don't remember. This cabinet, I don't remember them all. I don't see. Notably missing is Anisha Roll. I don't see her. I don't see her here. Also notably among the missing is Dr. Dwayne Ernest Sands. I thought that was interesting that I didn't see him here in the early ratification for members of the Free National Movement. Well, let me not talk about the FNM all morning because over on the PLP side, say what you like, do what you like. Here is my assessment, right? My assessment is this looks to me like a Christie cabinet 2.0. We see Mr. Alfred Sayers is on his way back. There's no guessing. He will more than likely go back as the Minister of Education. We see Mr. Keith Bell, who we don't have to guess would be the Minister of National Security in a Philip Davis-led PLP. We see Fred Mitchell, who we don't have to guess would go back as the Minister of Foreign Affairs in a Christie-led, in a Brave Davis-led administration. We see Michael Halkidis, who I am a fan of, by the way. Let me publicly state my bias now up front. I happen to be a fan of Mike. But we don't have to guess. He would be the Minister of Finance. He would be the Minister of Finance in a Davis-led administration. There's just no guessing here, right? And so it looks a lot like some of the same underpinnings from the Christie administration. But I must say that among them, notably, there are some new names. There is a Wade Watson, whom I think is a former public servant, an IT specialist, if I'm not mistaken. Zane Lightburn, you all know him from the teachers union, and you know he's had some fights over there. And then there are people like Basil McIntosh, who I do not know at all, or Leonardo Lightburn, who I do not know at all. But then there are people like Leslie Bryce, who is a household name, a known businesswoman in and around the community, somebody that is a name that it's kind of like Pine Sol. You say it, people know it. But then, because I like to watch South Beach I cannot not see that there is Barker's role. And I still remain convinced that I do not believe, you know, that the PLP will capture that seat with that candidate. But who am I? And we'll see what happens. So we're talking about politics and the possibilities of cabinets and the possibilities of what they will look like. There's no need to mention that, of course, among this pick here will be Mr. Davis and Mr. Minnis, unless, of course, the rapture comes and carry them. So basically, this is what we will get. Largely, I am able to pick the cabinet from among these first picks, right? I believe that the people that come after this will possibly be auxiliary cabinet picks or people that we see move into chairmanships, etc., right? Adrian White, another guy that I don't know, but I understand he's pretty popular down there in St. Anne's. And, you know, just at a glance, he looks like the perfect replacement for Brent Simonette. He looks like Brent Simonette minus 30 years. So that's where I am on it. I don't know what was the expression from the people out in the public. The numbers, though, are 3236232, 3254316, 3254259. You can text me at 4224796. I also see Mario Boleg. I think he's a really great guy. I don't think he's going to lose Cardinals. Stephen Greenslade, I don't know if I would have let them put me up against Mario Boleg, the guy that's been coaching at TC Sweden for the last, I think it's 15 years. So most of the people that come from around there have gone through his tutelage at some point. And I don't know. He works very close to that community, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. I don't know if I would have gone up against a Mario Boleg. But I also feel the same way about Michael Alkides. Michael Alkides, I want to tell you personally, beloved, they wasn't sending me in no St. Barnabas. All right? I would have made it abundantly clear to the party that, listen, I have built my legacy in Golden Isles. And just how y'all wouldn't send Mr. Davis out of Cat Island, I ain't coming out of Golden Isles. I ain't putting in no application for nowhere else. Don't ask me nothing but nowhere else. I don't know what y'all gonna do with Warren. Either shift him east or shift him west. So put him in Southern Shores if you feel like. Or put him in Killarney if you feel like. But what to don't do is talk foolishness. But he gained in Golden Isles. Because I built Golden Isles. And you can look all around Golden Isles. Where do you go in Adelaide and look at the government infrastructure there? Where do you go and look at the clinic that's there? Where do you go in Coral Harbor and look at the roadside levees that have been put in by Mr. Alkides, et cetera, et cetera? No, sir, no. If you look at the park through, what is the name of that? Golden Meadows Estate. No, sir, the man cannot have my seat. So I don't know what deal y'all could broker, but I can need my seat because I ain't going in no St. Barnabas. That's what I would tell them, Mike, all right? So there you have it. If you're asking me about South Beach, I believe this or not, still have Jeffrey Lloyd there to win by a slim margin if the PLP runs this candidate against him. I don't think he'll beat him. Stephen Greenslade, I think, is going to find himself in some problems up against a Mario Boleg, however. I see Jomo Campbell. That is an interesting name. He's going to get Christie's seat. That's going to be interesting because now I want to see who the FNM is going to put in Centerville, or have they put them in Centerville. I don't remember seeing a Centerville nomination there for the FNM. Anyway, let's open the phone line. 3236232, 3254316, 3254259. Let's talk politics. Good morning, Carly. You're on.
Brother Mello, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. I'm interested in two. I don't like politics that much, but knowing that you have the topic on it, I'm interested in two. Mm-hmm. Did you hear anything about Pinewood?
No, I haven't heard anything from Pinewood. I don't see Ruben Ramming here, nor do I see any of the seven contenders for the PLB.
Boy, well, I have another interest. Exuma is an interesting seat, eh?
Yeah, they named the FNM named Felicia Knowles, eh, for Exuma?
No.
No? Who did they name? No. I'm sorry. They named Jenny Isaacs Dotson.
Yes. I called, well, you know, that's my homestead. My mm-hmm. mom still resides there.
Mm-hmm.
And I called a few of my friends in Black Point and ask them how they feel. They all up in arms. They all up in
Why?
Arms. You know, the deputy leader of the opposition. You know, he's a doer and also an alpha male.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see a feminist going against an alpha male.
I don't understand what that means. I mean, clear that up for me.
Oh, you don't understand the feminist?
No. I mean, I don't understand. What do you mean when you say they don't see a feminist going up against an alpha male?
Well, they don't see how she can win against an alpha male.
Mm.
A feminist is one who don't believe in the protocol of God. A lot of people don't know.
And that's how you feel about Jenny Isaac's daughter?
Well, we have a lot of sisters.
I think she's been quite a tenacious woman, quite a tenacious union leader. She's been around public life for a long time. Jenny Isaac's daughter is a household name. Googleable.
She served well.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother, who would never vote no other way, she's all up in arms. I said, well, tell me how you're going to make a decision. She got a husband. She got to bring her husband, and she got to come by. I ain't voting for no woman who ain't got no husband. So wow. I said, well, then do the right thing. Vote for Chester.
Well, would you vote? Because I'm a man with no wife, but I may decide to be on the ballot. Would you vote for a man without a wife?
They made a decision on you in the last election, eh?
Yeah, 64
I live right next door to you. Mm-hmm. How many votes did you capture?
64.
You see, what we have to realize, Brother Miller, you know this.
And you think that
man.
Was in large part because I was an unmarried man? Yeah.
This country still believe in the family structure in terms of persons who orphan themselves.
Mm.
And I that's my belief.
That's curious because they let people pastor them that don't have wives. So I don't understand.
Well, we have to first admit, Brother Miller, and you raised it a few weeks ago, but the feminist movement is a movement is trying to replace man and the order of God. You know that, eh?
Go on, I'm listening.
The feminist movement do not believe in three scripture. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, 8, and 20. There's a difference between the feminist movement and the woman suffrage movement.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. They're trying to use that. But they don't believe in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 and 20.
Mm.
They don't believe God formed man from the dust to be leader and head. Now, yes, woman was elected. Woman can be elected and appointed. But they have a problem with the formation that God did form man from the dust. And man and our sisters was born out of man. Mm. They have a problem with that.
Okay, I don't foresee that being a difficulty in an election cycle. I'm not exactly sure. I think some of the standards that we hold for women are a bit unfair. Like people talk all the time about Mrs. Komolafe's husband being non-Bahamian, but so is Mr. Davis's wife. I mean, so are many other people in the cabinet's wives, right? Bahamians apparently like marrying foreigners, it appears. I don't know. I'm just saying. I mean, there is no rule. There is no rule that says that me as an unmarried man would make a terrible leader. Friday I'm going to talk about this. I see President Biden is moving towards all of this liberal agenda. And I see y'all giving all kind of rights to the people who won't be married man to man and woman to woman. But you realize that a liberal agenda also opens the door for the polygamous husband and the polygamous wife, right? So I want to know what y'all could do when a fella decide he won't run for president of the United States of America, but he got five wives. And since y'all been so liberal, and everybody just liberal, and you could do anything around here, then I don't think y'all are going to be able to hold him out. What are we going to do when we have five first ladies? Like, are we going to annex them? Are we going to have First Lady A1, First Lady A2? How are we gonna figure it out? We gotta think about that kind of stuff as we move towards liberal agendas. There's another call online. Come on and call, you're on.
Quality day, John Weiss, along with you, D-Ran.
Hey, Bremen.
Two different constitutions.
I don't understand.
United States and America. America and Bahamas.
The United States blows their nose, the Bahamas catches a cold. If they move towards that liberal agenda, there will be very little
that's
that the Western...
That's not my main point, though. My first question to you is, right, who did you run for last...
I ran as an independent.
You ran independent. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I didn't hear you say anything about Glenys Hannah Martin.
I don't see her here. That's why.
I see. So you don't think she's going to run for...
No. Listen to me. As sure as ice don't stand a chance in hell, Glenys Hannah Martin will be nominated. The only thing that could stop that is death.
You better believe that.
Yeah.
And she would win Anglesden, that area.
Well, I mean, they're going to run in Anglesden. That is another person that has a seat. That
yes.
You can't tell them to go anywhere else. She will run, and it will be in Anglesden.
Which would be good. What about the guy who ran, what's his name, who, what's this guy name, what ran for Exoma?
Chester Cooper?
Chester Cooper, right.
Well, Raymond, this, that goes without saying. The man is the deputy leader of the party. He will be on the ticket, and it will be in Exoma. Brave Davis's name isn't here either, but are you suggesting to me that, that somehow Brave won't be running in Cat Island?
Well,
these are just, I'm saying to you, these are obviously the people that have come out of the gate first. In my estimation, I believe that they look like they were trying to secure some cabinet picks early. And that is what I see coming out of both of these picks. I see it with the Keith Bells. I see it with the Michael Halkidis's, with the Fred Mitchells. I see it with the Alfred Sayers's. And so right away, I can kind of tell you the first five members of the Davis's cabinet.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Another question. So, do you think Brave Davis capable of running the Bahamas as being the prime minister?
I think anybody with a brain sitting in between their two ears could run the Bahamas. What I am curious or cautious about, though, is people continue to offer this this argument that, oh, Mr. Davis has never had a chance to lead the Bahamas, right? And I think that that is a cowardice argument that he himself ought to try to disabuse people of. Let me tell you why.
Very much so.
Listen.
Go ahead.
Because if you're telling me that the man that sat in chair number two had little influence over the direction of the country, then I must ask, why should I care about who the other 38 people is he runs along with him if all 38 of them will be non-effectual, non-consequential, and of no influence whatsoever? That would be quite dismal. Don't you consider that? So if this man sat in chair number two, you cannot then tell me that his influence, whether it was his thought, whether it was his ability to pick up the phone, whether it was simply his having access to information, at some point transferred or altered the position of this country. Yes? And if you're going to say to me that him being in the second chair is no indication of what he would be like in the first chair, then I am wary of that argument. And I think on that premise, that would disqualify him in my mind. Because then there would be no need to recruit a Michael Halkidis. There would be no need to recruit a Wayne Monroe. There would be no need to recruit an Alfred Sayers. Because it would say to me that all of them are just going to sit there and be puppeteered and wait on the guy in the first chair. If you're saying to me that the only way to have any kind of influence over the direction of the country is if you sit in the first chair, Mr. Davis himself ought to disabuse people of that argument. 323-622-3253-316-325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796. Let's take the call. Good morning, call. You're on.
How you doing, brother?
I feel good.
Yes, man. Top shape. Amos Jr. Miller here. I heard that statement you made. I think this is my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
The number two man is the chair leader of the leader. That's point number one. Point number two, that's not the reason why a man like Philip Brave Davis should be elected. He should be elected for the same reasons why he was and is elected. Now, whether or not he should be prime minister, the nation's, that's every individual voter's choice. All right? And so I just need everyone to know, this is why our country do not go forward. It's not about personality when people losing their life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's wrong with this country. People are afraid to stand up for their own soul, okay? Mm-hmm. Corruption has become an egregious demonic force in the country, and it must be stopped.
Okay. All right. There you have it. Let me read some of these text messages. Levin, where's the recent guest, Leslie DePort Cake Miller? I don't know, but I don't see him here. I do see Dawn Sanders here. Let me tell you, against Leslie Miller, I don't think Dawn Sanders will win again. Good morning, Levin. It's truly disheartening to see the following. The super spreader candidate ratification event. I heard this on the show prior to mine. Also, Levin, St. Barnabas branch of the PLP chose a younger, much more vibrant candidate, but yet the party still ratified one of the old boys. How can we trust them when they say they listen to the people, but don't even listen to the members of their own party? Well, who was the younger candidate that they picked? Adrian White is a white knight and Bay Street boy. He is the nephew of Jeffrey Johnstone. Is he a Bahamian? Because that's the only criteria. Bravo Zulu again, mate. Thank you. Always on point. But you realize Michael Alkidis went to SAC. You're not going to do that to me in yet a day. You're not going to do that to me in yet a day. Always knew you had an unprofessed love for us. I don't know about that. I don't know. Yeah, sack. You know, outside of Anthony Newbold, I can't think about many Bright and Charlotte Hour. They're the only two people from SAC I like. Everybody else, y'all, I kind of, the jury out on y'all. I ain't sure. Let's take the call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, Mr. Miller. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm pretty good. Mr. Miller, I listening to you, you're saying some people who have a chance to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
Just say the mean people get up that morning and they're angry and it's just anything red, gone. I mean, you just start moving and, you know, it ain't.
You mean if they suffer the Christie effect?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. No survival, nobody survived, nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that scenario, what happened? Everybody gone.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Lloyd wouldn't survive. This one, you know, nobody who you picked.
Well, let me tell you why I think Jeff beats Barkas in a South Beach race, mm-hmm. right? And I see the DNA. With all fairness, let me give them credit. They have a candidate down there. His name is Jermaine. Why do I not know my neighbor's name? His name is Jermaine. Oh, God. Higgs. That's his name. He's Mr. Higgs' son.
Okay.
And why did I not know that? I know him very well. But, and to his credit, Jermaine Higgs has run as a member of the BDM before. In South Beach, the two times that the BDM did run, so he's not a newcomer. He's not a novice to the political campaign trail, right? So Jermaine will probably do well in polling division number 3, which is where he and I both live, which is where I did well, right? I mean, I mean it is the polling division. That and polling division number 9 was where I think I got the most of my votes. All right, but it's the two polling divisions that I'm most known in. I think he will have the same fate. I think he will do well in 3 and maybe 5. Because I think he's lived between those two polling divisions, right? But the truth of the matter is, Jeffrey Lloyd won by a margin of 3-1 in South Beach last election.
Yeah, look at who he ran against.
And this is my point. Barkas' role, in my estimation,
equates to be
the same, or, and I'm not saying representation-wise, but he, as far as I can tell from my own garnering of information on the ground in South Beach, he kind of creates about the same amount of excitement as the Cleola Hamilton.
Yeah, okay, right. Okay, yeah, because look, yeah, I live in Coral Harbor. I mean, I could see my house from Mr. Michael Alkidis, and I was surprised at that last night because, I mean, Mr. Warren Miller's okay. If you can vote on principles,
mm-hmm.
things that he stand up for, and if you believe in principles and integrity, you'll vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
But making things happen, no, you might have a different view of him, voting for him. Because
mm-hmm.
Mr. Michael Alkidis, I don't know how that happened. I mean, he should have run.
Many people still do not know how Michael Alkidis lost Golden Isles.
I don't understand that.
And this is my point. And that's why I would have gone to the general counsel or whoever you call them and say, listen to me, y'all, I notice y'all is make talking foolishness a practice around here. Less don't practice foolishness.
Yeah, I mean, that was shock last night. Cause
I know what y'all tell Warren to get him into the BLP. And that don't make me know, never mind.
As soon as you turn the corner, you see his house, and then you turn the corner, I could see his house from my house. And mm-hmm. I mean, like, I was like, I could swear he was going to find a position for Warren, probably put him in Warren Miller, put him in Luch or someplace.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that was a blow last night.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, when I look at the numbers, so I'm watching South Beach because South Beach is a seat that matters to me. Why? Let me tell you. South Beach doesn't sit in the opposition. Wherever South Beach goes, that's where the government goes, right?
That's true.
I'm watching that seat. Right? Yeah. And like I said, Jeff Lloyd has won South Beach by a margin of 3-1 in a 4-way race.
Well, I got a lot of family in the Garden Hills area. My aunts and cousins live in that area. Mr. Greensley better go through there and he better have something good because Mario
Boleg. Listen to me.
Yeah.
Mario Boleg is so well entrenched in that neighborhood. If he doesn't win, I would be jaw dropped.
I have 3 aunts and they have family.
And all of their children was taught by Mario at some point.
I'm telling you.
I don't know how this one man has met this many people, but yeah, I don't know if you can beat him in no Garden Hills.
Yeah, I doubt that. That could be a fight.
That's what I'm saying. But I like to be realistic, right? Because I don't want them to feel like I'm picking for either side.
Yeah.
I want a government to be elected because I want the Bahamas to have a government. I'm not playing team ball here.
Okay, let me ask you last question before mm-hmm. I hang up. Exuma, you think that lady could be the Mr.
Let's just tell you, let's don't practice talking foolishness.
I appreciate you, man.
Thank you very much for calling. Let me read this. I got to read this. Get active. Get up. Get out. Get active. 4 platforms to enter. Over 40 winners will be announced. Take your photo or video with a copy of the Nassau Guardian. Log on to guardiantalkradio.com. Click on the Get Active contest link. Download and invite your friends and family to vote on your entry. And you can win. The promotion ends February 26th. Let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there? Text writer says, hi, Levin. Have you heard who will run in Abaco, seeing as though one of the contenders for North Abaco has passed away? I have not seen a ratified candidate from the PLP for North Abaco, but the wind talks to me. And as far as I know, the wind has told me that they are looking down there at a Denali Penmaki. You know her. She's the mortician from Evergreen. And a very good personal family friend of mine. So she is Denali Pen. I don't know how I feel about Denali Pen. Every time I see her, I have to bury people. But outside of that, she's a phenomenal businesswoman for sure. As stellar and professional as I've ever met them, quite honestly. And I don't know of anything that would make me feel otherwise about her. But I know she's from Abaco. She always talks about that. Is she where is she from? But she always talks about being from Abaco. And so that is what the wind has told me. Let's see what else we have here. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796. This text right here says, Michael Alkitas was born and lived in St. Barnabas. And Jesus was born in a manger. What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. I was born on the corner of Mini Street and Cordo Avenue. I lived there until I was, 9, 6, maybe 7. 7, we moved into Bayntown, right? And they keep telling me I lived in Oaksfield, I guess. Bayntown, people don't really like me saying I lived in Bayntown. But I lived through the corner by Joy Shop. That's the corner on the side of the Punch. You know where that is? Great. Right where the government built a new subdivision, I lived right through that corner. I lived there until I was 11 years old, 12 years old. And then we moved into South Beach. Let me tell you now. That if by chance, I don't know, blue light came out of the heavens and I was to be nominated for a party, you could tell Christ and man, there would be no way I would talk foolishness, but I going to go run in Mini Street. Because although I go there every day, although me and them people know one another, although me and Blackstem grow up together, I from South Beach and the problems I know how to fix are in South Beach and the problems I've lived through are in South Beach, and the things I've had as a challenge were in South Beach, and the flooding was in South Beach, and the no bus, that happened to me in South Beach. All them things happened to me in South Beach. What in Christ's name I could be doing up in Mini Street talking foolishness, but I running there on a ticket. So he was born, Jesus was born in a manger. That don't mean nothing to me. Do you need a wife for the upcoming election? Well, listen, send your application in. You can leave it... where to leave it. Just send the application in. Forward the application, we will review. Good morning, Mr. Miller. I'm very interested in seeing whether or not Leisha Rule will be the incumbent. She probably will be. Morning. If campaigning has started, I think that you have to invite Anton to be a regular contributor. Everyone knows he's not a regular person calling once in a while to express his views. He's biased and obviously a PLP mouthpiece. He has a good point sometimes, but listening to him 3 or 4 times a day is, what does this say? Becoming irritating. When he calls, his tone is calm and deliberate, and then he grows to crescendo as if he is talking to, from the pulpit to his congregation. When I turn to your station, is not to be converted to follow a party. Now, he should just have a slot like Rush Limbaugh. Well, I have told Anton to go and speak to the senior executive members of his party. And they could sponsor my show. If you want to sponsor my show, you could go out, give Janet Lees a call, right? And we could bring to you the PLP Minute brought to you by Anton. And I'll do a nice little voiceover at the end and I'll say, this was a PLP Minute brought to you by Anton. And, you know, he could have fun, I could have fun, we could all, you know, have a good time. Hi, have you noticed the feminist movement is always talking about jobs, equality, equity, but it always the CEO, CFO, prime minister job, etc. And it's never the work to work on the garbage truck or the sewage truck. I don't know. Let's take some calls. Good morning, Callie. You're on. Callie, you there?
Hey, lovely woman. How you doing?
Hey, hello. I can hear you. I think I can hear you.
You can hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah, go on, Antoine.
How you doing, Levon?
Antoine, you kind of like Beetlejuice. I call your name and dun-da-da-dun.
But nonetheless, I just call to put a challenge out there as it relates in particular, and then I have one more point. As it relates to South Beach, I noticed that you continue to say what you say as it relates to Jeff Lloyd and South Beach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
go check the numbers. Jeff Lloyd won. I think it was 3,668 or something like that.
I'm looking at them right now. He won pretty much by a 2-1 margin in South Beach, right? Against Cleola Hamilton.
What was the numbers?
She got 1,284 votes. He got 2,893 votes, right?
Okay.
But that's not the point that I want to call in on. When you look
Hold on. I want to engage you on this. Let's contextualize this now. Randy Butler got, what was it, 647 votes?
Randy Butler,
mm-hmm.
DNA, 275
votes. Okay, and then you had me down there, 64 votes.
And other was like 63. Yeah.
Okay, so none of those votes went towards the PLB.
Right.
Okay, so now, and do you suggest that Randy Butler was a well-known candidate, a well-known face?
In the aviation industry, absolutely.
Okay, well, all throughout the news, right? And are you agreeing or disagreeing that Cleola Hamilton has been very known in and around Nassau, particularly as once the leader of the nurses' union, et cetera?
Absolutely.
And the incumbent candidate?
Absolutely.
And she still was beaten almost 3-1?
Well,
in a four-way race?
That's a strong cry from 3-1. But what I want to add, if you want to engage me...
Don't live where the rainbows are, Antoine. Go on.
What I want to add to that is this, right? You had a situation where, at the end of the day, there was a clear wave, right? And for several reasons, there was a clear wave, including one of those reasons being fatigue, right? Mm-hmm. I won't get into any detail, but there was the fatigue. I can tell you, Levon, beyond a shadow of doubt, that same fatigue that existed 2017 when the PLP was defeated, 35-4, exists, but in a worse way today.
How, if the man has only been in elected office for 15 years? How are you assuming there is menace fatigue if Mr. Minnis has only spent 15 years of his life in public life, only 10 of them have actually been in government, five has been as prime minister, hold on, versus Christie's 42 years, 31 or something like that as a cabinet minister, and 10 as a prime minister. How do you compare the fatigue, Antoine?
When you look at the fact that the level of poverty in this country, the level of unemployment in this country, the level of misery in this country, the level of the slide from middle class to poverty or to class in this country, when you look at education in this country, when you look at health care in this country, when you look
at... We're talking about candidate fatigue, though. How?
Yes, this is the fatigue that has been developed in 3.5 to 4 short years by one prime minister. Who is considered
no,
now...
No, Antoine, I think you live in where unicorns live. Listen to me.
Let me end on this point. Levon, seeing as you're engaging me. The level of poverty in this country, the level of misery in this country, we have never experienced at any time combined between Perry Christie, Sir Lyndon Penning, and Hubert Ingraham, the level of spending, deficit spending, and debt in this country combined.
We've also never had a Category 5 hurricane or a global pandemic, Anton. And again, I think you live in where unicorns, rainbows, leprechauns, and sprinkles are. If you're going to tell me, right, that a man that has only been in public life 15 years, Dr. Minnis has gotten into public life at an old age. I think he was 52 or something like that when he entered public life. You're telling me that a man that we watched grow from 28 to 74 in public life is equal in person or candidate fatigue than somebody that has done 15 years and has done 5 years of it in the political wilderness? Anton, I think you're living in La La Land this morning with regards to your South Beach argument. If you're telling me that a nurses union president, somebody that has been accustomed to running and winning elections, someone who sits in the seat as the incumbent, someone who beat, who did Cleola beat down there? Wasn't it Fenton? Did she beat Van Den? I don't remember at this time. But someone who won South Beach comfortably, who then goes in a four-way race and is beaten almost 3-1, is going to then somehow have an easy task beating the man that beat that candidate 3-1 in 5 years. Anton, I like to live in the realm of reality. That don't sound realistic to me. Let's take some phone calls. Come on in, Carly. You're on. Carly, you there? Let's take the next line. Come on in, Carly. You're on.
Hey.
Hey.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, the Parkers Road man who running in your area, South Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me something. You still running?
Well, at this time, I am presently actively contemplating the Lord on this one.
Okay, but the Parkers man, because mm-hmm. time going, the Parkers man, you could check out to see if that's the same Parkers who was working to BEC for a few years ago.
That is the same man, yes.
Because he was very helpful. I mean, he was in a big position. He was very helpful to bending over backwards to help people.
Mm.
And I think he'll do good in this politics thing. I hope it don't change him.
But that is, again, Papa, although I have not confirmed or denied my intention to contend or not contend in the next general election, I am still in my community. And I can tell you, apparently he has met people, and the people that have met him, that I have met, have said to me, boy, I don't really know how I feel about him. He just doesn't
connect. Sure, they sure how they feel about him.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be our flavor. You see what I'm saying? I've also met some people whose story about him is quite the opposite from the one you just gave.
You serious?
I don't practice lying.
As human beings, but the time I spent around him, and the years what I know people being going to BEC with their little problems and challenges, the man was bending over backwards trying to assist us. And I expect if he come in politics and the people let me back him, that he'll do a good job.
But does he have
job.
The dynamism?
Then this Al-Qaeda's man, who was a member of parliament for a cabinet minister, mm-hmm. who lost to Warren Miller, him coming in with the areas in Barnabas,
mm-hmm.
I think Al-Qaeda's is a good man, but him coming to...
Against Shannon Doncarra?
A good person like Shannon Doncarra. When I say a good person, I call them good persons in politics because they bend over backwards to help people, not mm-hmm. just in their constituency, but all over. Mm-hmm. I think it's time, us and people like me, I know you're still in your 30s, but people like me who 50, who've been doing this thing, or over 50, who've been doing this thing a long time,
mm-hmm.
we need to stop voting on these good people then, because we either mad with the leader, you're mad with minister, or you're mad with brave.
Mm-hmm.
If these people is decent, hard-working people like a Shannon Doncarra, Cartwright in St. Barnabas. You could be a PLP and vote for me, nothing wrong with that, as long as the man serves. And you don't even need to be in government to serve, as long as he bent over backwards and keep fighting for his people like he's doing now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's some good names, some small names, but time already gone. Keep up the good work, my brother.
Thank you, Papa. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. I'm going to the break. When I get back, I promise I'm coming straight to your text messages. If you're on the phone line, you can hold. We'll be right back after the break.
When you get your child immunized, you are protecting him or her from diseases and also creating a safer community. It took many years for the Bahamas to get rid of infections such as polio, mumps, and measles. Keeping up with your child's immunization schedule so that they are fully protected can keep these diseases from coming back. The COVID-19 pandemic should not stop your child from getting immunized. Even if your child missed an appointment, they should continue with follow-up visits to catch up with their immunizations. Contact your nearest clinic or healthcare provider for more information or to make an appointment. Remember, immunizations are free at all government healthcare facilities. Prevent disease. Immunize, please.
This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health.
Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory,
Good morning. Welcome back. This is Guardian Radio. I'm Levin Miller. You're listening to me. I'm Unleashed on your radio. And I want you to join me every weekday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. because, quite honestly, I can't think about what else you'd be doing with your radio. So if you're driving right now and you can hear my voice, here are your instructions. I want you to take the knob off your radio, break it off. Make the speed limit 45 miles an hour, depending on which road you're on, and then toss the knob outside because there's no need to move your radio from today on. You need to be unleashed with Levin Miller right here on Guardian Radio. It's the only place you'll hear it. Oban Fires, BPL Board, Gibson, Smith, those are the fatigues we have for minutes. Morning, Mr. Miller. I thought you said your show would be different, but it seems like the same politics. I'm more concerned about everyday things like dangerous driving. Text writer, if you listened to my show on Monday, you would see that that wasn't about politics. Tuesday, I spoke with Frederick McElvine. And that wasn't really about politics. I just wanted to know where he was going. Today, I'm talking about the picks that are possibly going to be the cabinet. So this one is about politics. But I invite you, join me tomorrow. I'm talking about finance. And on Friday, I'm talking about news events. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about Peter Nygaard. I'm going to be talking a little bit about, again, some of this politics. But I'm also going to be talking about some things that are going on around the world, things like the liberal agenda in America, that sort of stuff. You see how I have a wonderful mixed bag? Hi, good morning. Mr. Christie did not spend no money on his constituency, and Brave is no better. Anton is living in the PLP echo chamber and needs to come out for some oxygen. He also needs to tell them to send me a check. Feminism is a cancer. No candidate who openly confessed to being a feminist should even be considered. Okay. Be careful with the margin of victory last elections. We didn't want what we had. Now we don't want what we have. But also, we want no more supermajority in this parliament again. Let's take one more call before I get it here. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, Mr. Miller.
Hey, Robert.
Now, I suppose anybody ain't bring this up yet. I went on here to buy some insurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they give me this form, individual client KYC. And they ask you, are you a politically exposed person?
Mm-hmm.
And if you put no, are you a close relationship of any PEP? Or do you know any PEP? It's called PEP.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask you, stake the association relation with the PEP.
Mm-hmm.
You name this person you're politically connected to. Why would they ask you to do that?
Because they want to make sure that you ain't washing money, Anton. They want to make sure that you ain't washing money in the Bahamas because that apparently is our thing. I think the PLP is making a mistake by not running the pot cake into all pines. I share that view. Also, by running Michael Alkaidis and Barnabas. I share that view. Both constituency branches ratified the candidates they wanted, but the party chose otherwise. If they don't listen to their own people, how can we expect them to listen to us? Good morning. Please tell me how an employee of government can still work if he or she already has been or was named as a candidate. I thought they had to resign. I think there is some rule around it. Brentwood Wells was in the same position when he first nominated. Good morning, Mr. Levin Miller. Hope you will consider running again in the future. If I were in your area, you would get my vote. At least you have a heart for your people. Enjoy your show. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I think you're very kind. Just curious, what's happening with the BDM? I don't know. We'll see if we can get Cassius Short on you. Hopefully that isn't too much politics for the people that don't like politics. Levin, I've never heard of the new F&M candidate for St. Anne's. Do you have information on him? Google him. I recommend that. If they send somebody into your neighborhood, Google them. Here's the position I've taken. If you are somebody that is interested in public service, I ought to be able to put your name in a Google search and first find you. Google ought to tell me things about you. So if you're Ricky Mackey, it's probably going to tell me about the time that you didn't pay customs and had a bill there for almost a decade. If you're Fred McElvine, it's probably going to tell me how displeased you are with the F&M. The point I'm making is, if Google don't know you, then I don't know how I'm supposed to know you. And how am I supposed to gauge or consider your contribution to society thus far to consider whether or not I want to give you the opportunity to legislate or to create policies on my behalf? So I mean, at the very least, you should have saved a cat out of the tree, and Google should have some record of that. But y'all keep trying to send me these un-Googleable people. And I'm telling you, if you try that nonsense, it's really gonna not make sense. All right? Well, that's my team music. I got one more for you. Alkaidis brought in VAT. How can they bring him back? Anywhere, I also say, I was so happy, when he lost. You all forget, eh? Also, We have to decide, mate, if we really believe the Prime Minister makes decisions by himself or in consultation. Not just because Brave is running now. We get to say he was the number two seat against... We get to use the number two seat against him. The Prime Minister makes a decision, and that's it. Let's give Brave a fair shot. All right. Let's all be brave together then, I guess. I don't know. I see Travis Robinson is in the lineup. That's exciting. Stephen Greenstate is in the lineup. That's exciting. We'll see what it looks like. Wayne Munro is back in the lineup. We'll see what that looks like. And, of course, Mario Boleg. I'm pulling for Coach Boleg. I ain't lying. I see him back in the race. So, that's what the political landscape is beginning to look like. I think I can see some cabinet picks out of there already. We'll see how it shapes up. That's my time. I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. They're your station for fresh news and smart talk. They do it all day. Don't go anywhere. They've got news and the revolution up next.